Well, let's turn, we're going to look at 1 Peter. We're going to open our lesson up this morning. And we've been reading 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 and 17 from the Message translation. And we're going to read these verses again. It helps us to look at this particular scripture and see what our responsibility is here. In verse 13, it says in the Message, "Make the master proud of you by being good citizens. Respect the authorities, whatever their level. They are God's emissaries for keeping order." See, God puts things in place so that we can keep order in this country. And not just this country, this is written to everyone. And in verse 15, "It is God's will that by doing good, you might cure the ignorance of the fools who think you're a danger to society. Exercise your freedom by serving God, not breaking the rules. Treat everyone you meet with dignity. Love your spiritual family. Revere God. Respect the government." Praise God. So when we say respect the government, that means also respect those who are in charge, those who are been elected, and those that are in those places of office. We know in 1 Timothy 2, it says we're to pray for those who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. So one of the things that we've shared in past lessons is from Isaiah 55:8. That God's thoughts, his thoughts, are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. And it says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are his ways higher than our ways and his thoughts than our thoughts." Thank God. Because we'd have it in a mess. We already not yielding enough. If you feed enough on this world and its thoughts and its ideas, then you're going to be, you know, you're going to not have your minds renewed by the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. But let's take a look in the Passion Translation, John 13, 34 and 35. And this is our directions from the Master, from Jesus. And he says in verse 34, "So I give you now a new commandment. Love each other just as much as I have loved you." In verse 35 in the Passion Translation, "For when you demonstrate the same love I have for you by loving one another, everyone will know that you're my true followers." So God is expecting us to do what? Love one another, demonstrate it. Show love one to another, and then what? The world, as the King James says, the world will know that, or all men shall know that we are his disciples. Now, I wanted to jump in here today. We're going to be talking about growing in love and what we can do to grow in the love of God. And in order to do that, let's look at what God's definition of love is. And we're going to read from the Amplified Translation, the Amplified Classic Translation, from 1 Corinthians 13, the first 8 verses. And starting in verse 1, it says, "If I can speak in the tongues of men and even of angels, but have not love, that reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion, such as inspired by God's love for and in us, I am only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, and understand all the secret truths and mysteries, and possess all knowledge, and if I have sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, God's love in me, I am nothing, a useless nobody. Even if I dole out all that I have to the poor in providing food, and if I surrender my body to be burned, or in order that I may glory but have not love, God's love in me, I gain nothing. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails out, or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. As for prophecy, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, it will be fulfilled and pass away. As for tongues, they will be destroyed and cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. It will lose its value and be superseded by truth. Praise the Lord. Now, one other scripture I want to look at here is 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 12. We're talking about how we're going to grow in the love of God. What do we need to do to nurture that? 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 in the King James. In verse 12, it says, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you." So we can see here from the scripture, it says the Lord make you to do what? Who's going to make you the Lord? He's the one that gives the increase. He's going to make you to increase and do what? Abound in love one toward another. So this is saying here that our love should grow. It should abound. It should increase. But we're going to have to do something. First of all, we need to understand that it doesn't just happen. It needs to be what? Cultivated. Just like you, some of you have gardens, you know, some of you like to plant. I used to have gardens and get out in the garden and plant things. So when you have a garden, what is that? What has to happen? The soil needs to be turned over. It needs to be exposed. Then what happens? You need to prepare the ground, prepare the soil. That's our hearts. And once that soil is prepared, then you plant the seed. But you don't just plant the seed and just walk away and come back at harvest time, right? You don't do that. If you've got a garden, you need to do what? You need to tend to it. You need to keep the weeds out of it. You need to make sure that, you know, the ground doesn't get, sometimes the ground, depending on the type of soil, it can get hardened even during the growing season. So when it rains, you know, it won't penetrate the soil. So sometimes you're going to have to turn the soil over, keep it turned over, keep it cultivated, keep the ground soft. You know, that's like our heart, so that it doesn't become hardened. Our hearts keep softened. And so that's just like the soil when you're planting. So if that seed that's planted is ever going to become what it's designed to become, it needs to be cultivated. It needs to be tended to. So in like manner, our love needs to be cared for. It needs to be cultivated. And we know from the parable of the sower, where there were four different types of ground. We had, wayward ground or the wayside ground, and we had this rocky soil, we had this soil that had thorns and thistles. What did it do? It choked the word, and it says it became unfruitful. And then we had what? Good ground, where it says it produced some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. So you can see, based on the type of soil, it needs to be prepared, and it needs to be what? Nurtured. So even though our spirits have been made brand new, and we've become brand new creatures in Christ, our soul has not been restored. It hasn't been renewed. So based on your life experience, you may have had a bad life experience growing up. And it may not have been your fault. May just the environment you grew up in. But thank God, the power of the Word of God can do what? Change or restore or renew or transform our thinking, our soul. And we can begin to do what? Think like Him. We can begin to act like Him. So we can begin to think differently. And this is where the first point here is, how do we grow in love? What do we need to do to grow in the love of God? Well, the first thing is we need to think different. If we're going to grow in love, we're going to have to think love. We're going to have to think with love. Now, let's look at a scripture here to support this, Philippians 4:8. So if we're going to grow in the love of God, we must think with love. So Philippians 4:8, it says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are what? True. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, do what? Think on what? These things, not your problems, not, oh man, you know, not blaming everybody for your upbringing. You know, we've all had various types of backgrounds and upbringings, some worse than others. And so sometimes we get lax in this area where we have the right kind of thoughts or the proper thoughts. So instead, you know, because we live in this earth realm and the devil is the god of this world, that he operates in and through systems here. And we're constantly confronted and bombarded with negative thoughts, negative situations. And so if we're not careful, if we don't think on these things, which Paul wrote in the book of Philippians, that we can find ourselves blaming things, blaming, you know, people for circumstances. And you know, you may not have caused the circumstances, and you may not have even had control over those circumstances, but to stay in those circumstances is our fault. If we sit there in the midst of those circumstances when we've been redeemed and we've been set free, you know, we're talking about, you know, Freedom and Independence Weekend here, that we've been set free in Christ. My identity is not my circumstance. My identity is not how I was raised. My identity now, I have a brand new identity. I am in Christ. So we're going to have to, if we're going to grow in the love of God, we are going to have to now do what? Think with love. Think love thoughts. And so those circumstances do not shape my identity. In other words, and this is what we're saying, that when Romans 12:2 says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." So our minds can be renewed to do what? Think on what's true and honest and just and pure and lovely. And we can think on those things rather than the negative, and it'll begin to change us. We'll have a different outlook. we'll begin to do what? Think with love. Think like God thinks. A scripture that's familiar, Galatians 5:1, it says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free." Hallelujah. And it says, "Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." So you may have come out of a situation where bondage was, you know, yokes of bondage was you know, the circumstance. Maybe issues that caused you to be in bondage to certain things. Maybe you were the victim of something. But Christ has set us free. He's made us free. And so if I continue to stay in that and I don't get my mind renewed, it says here, don't be not entangled again with that yoke of bondage. So God is saying here that we are set free. We're free. And another scripture that's familiar is Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. It says, "There is therefore now," right now, "no condemnation to those," to them which are what? "In Christ Jesus." So don't ever let anybody, ever put on you thoughts of condemnation or shame or blame. You've been set free. And so those things, condemnation, can impact the way we think. It can cause us to think less of ourselves. And so don't ever let anybody, you know, when you think about the world, just turn on the news and watch for 5 or 10 minutes. They're the words that are constantly being used in this society, and what we see is condemnation, shame, and blame. And you can see that in society. Some of it may be justified, but where God is concerned, if we have missed it and we have asked God to forgive us, there is therefore now no condemnation for them who are in Christ Jesus. So condemnation can affect your confidence. Confidence towards God, confidence in your love walk towards God. So don't let condemnation into your thinking. It can affect how you act. So we've been set free. We've been delivered. Colossians 1, 12 and 13. We've been delivered. What? From the power of darkness, and we've been translated into the kingdom of his dear son, in whom, verse 14, in whom what? We have redemption, how? Through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. So sin has been defeated. Sin has no power over you unless you let it. So we've been set free. And what's the other scripture that we all love so much? Revelation chapter 12. And they overcame him, how? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Glory to God. So we have the power and the authority and the ability to overcome circumstances that we might be in. Hallelujah. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So what are we saying? The first thing, in order for you to grow in the love of God, the first thing that we're going to have to do is change the way we think. We're going to have to think love. So to increase in our love, we must change the thinking, negative thinking, with something positive. And how do we do that? Feeding on the word of God. Speaking the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Every time someone does something wrong, think something good. Think on something good instead of bad, and on the bad that happened. So begin to think differently. If we don't change our thought process, if we don't change the thinking or in our thought process, we will not grow in the love of God. And this is what What did Paul write again? Philippians 4:8. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure and lovely and of a good report, if there's any virtue and any praise, think on these things. Hallelujah. The Amplified, on that verse 8, at the end of that, it says, think on and weigh and take account of these things. Fix your minds on them. I like the way the Amplified says that. Fix your minds on them. And the Passion Translation says, fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising him always. So I like these two translations. The Amplified says, fix your minds on these things. And that Passion Translation says, fasten your thoughts on these things. Glory to God. So this is our responsibility. So we may not have, you know, caused the situations that we grew up in or find ourselves in, but we certainly have control over whether we stay there or not. We can do what? Fix our minds and fasten our minds on something good, something true, something honest, something just. And so that's what we're to think on. So we need to purpose, if somebody has done you wrong or you've experienced something, purpose not to think on those things that they did to you. But think on those things that are what? True and honest and just and pure and lovely and of a good report. So what are we saying? In order to grow in love, the first step is we're going to have to think, change our thinking, and think with love. Think with the love of God. And the second, if we're going to grow in the love of God, we're going to have to listen with love. Listen with love. So Christ, we're going to look at this scripture here, Psalm 34 and verse 17. And it says, the righteous cry, and what? The Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Another scripture in Proverbs 15 and verse 29. Talking about listening with love. Listening with love or listening with compassion. In Proverbs 15 and 29, it says, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. He hears us. So Christ listens when we cry. He listens with what? With love. He listens with love. So when we listen with love, we don't listen with a condescending or a superior attitude. We listen, you know how some people do, you know, if you just listen to what I said, or if you just done what you're supposed to do, you wouldn't be in the mess that you're in. That's not listening with love. That's listening with an attitude, with a condescending attitude. So we're going to grow in love, we are going to have to continually cultivate the ground or our heart to make sure that it doesn't become, our hearts don't become hardened and they're tender in our listening, so that we listen with tenderness and compassion and kindness. Something the Master said in Mark 4, verse 24, in the King James Version, and it says, and he said unto them, take heed what you hear, with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. Well, I like, this is a translation that I like. It's the Living Bible. In this same verse, it says, and be sure, you know, when it says, take heed what you hear, with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. We don't speak like that anymore. But the Living Bible, it says, and be sure to put into practice what you hear. So when we hear things from the Word of God, what does it say? we're to put into practice what we hear. It says, the more you do this, the more you will understand. Glory to God. The more you'll understand. So if we're going to grow in love, then we must listen with love, with compassion. So what do we have? The first step, if we're going to grow in the love of God, we have to do what? We have to change our thinking. We have to think with love. And what's the second thing? We have to listen with love. We have to listen with a heart of love and of compassion. And the third step is we need to look with love. And what do we mean by that? Let's look at Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35 and 36. Jesus, when he was on this earth, he looked with love. Everything he did was from a place of love. He's moved with compassion. So Matthew 9 and verse 35, it says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages doing what? Teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and doing what? Healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Now look at verse 36. But when he did what? He saw the multitudes. He looked with love. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. So when he saw, when he looked, when he saw the multitudes, it says he was moved with compassion. Why? Because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having what? No shepherd. So Christ was moved with compassion. So we need to do what? Look with love. When we are walking in this, in other words, the scripture says we are to walk as he walked in this earth. What does that mean? If he was moved with compassion with things that he saw, then that means we are too. That means if we're to walk as he walked. So to grow in love, we need to look at what? When we see the faults and failures of people, we need to be ready to do what? To forgive. We need not to look with an attitude. And you know how people do, you know, they just, you know, if you why are you in the mess you're in? But let's look at Galatians 6:1. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. This is what we're supposed to do when we see or we look upon someone who's missed it or has a fault. Galatians 6:1, it says, brethren, if a man be what? Overtaken in a fault, ye which are what? Spiritual are supposed to do what? Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So when we see an individual that's messed up or is in a situation, it don't mean we're supposed to air somebody's dirty laundry, go around spreading something or something worse, post it on social media. We're to do what? Restore such a one in what? Meekness. Spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest you also be tempted. So when we see things like this, what are we supposed to think? We're supposed to think, well, if I was in their position, how would I want to be treated? Would I want to be treated with compassion and mercy and forgiveness? So the same thing. And look, we've all missed it in some areas of our life. We're teaching this so that we can begin to do what? Meditate on these things. So if we need to examine ourselves and if we need to make some corrections, we make some corrections. So we need to change our thinking. We need to listen with love and we need to look with love. In other words, when we see the faults and the failures of other people, we're to do what? Have compassion, just like Jesus did, and to do what? Restore, to bind up the wounds of those that are hurting. So the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. But if it's not cultivated, if it's not tended to, it's going to be hard to operate in God's love. Why do I say that? Because your thinking hasn't been changed. You're going to yield more to the soulish thoughts and to those things that, you know, the flesh will yield to if you don't get your mind renewed to the Word of God. So what is the fourth here is we need to speak with love. So what do we say? Let's go back again. We need to think with love. We need to listen with love. We need to look upon, and those things that we see with love, with a heart of love. And number four, we need to speak with love. So Proverbs 15 and verse 1. Verse 15, chapter 15 and verse 1, it says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up" what? "Anger." So when we speak, we need to speak the right kind of words. Words of what? Well, we know from 1 Corinthians, it says, "And these three abide, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest is love." So we need to speak words of faith and hope and love and understanding. Words, we all know this, words are spiritual. Words are spiritual containers that are either going to be filled with life or death. So they're either going to discourage someone or lift somebody up. So we need to speak with a heart of love, with compassion, and that our words can lift somebody up and encourage them in the situation that they're in. And we can show love and we can show mercy and understanding to those that are hurting. I'm going to read a few lines from a translation called the Hayford Translation, Hayford, from 1 Corinthians 13. It says, this is in verse 4. I'm not going to read all of it, but this verse says, "Love suffers long, having patience with imperfect people." This is love. Love is going to have patience with imperfect people. And it goes down and it says, "Love is not puffed up, treating others arrogantly. It does not behave rudely, but displays good manners and courtesy." So we're going to have to operate when we speak, and we've all, you know, we're growing in these areas. So the more we meditate upon the Word of God, when we miss it, God is going to, he's going to begin to prick our hearts. He's going to say, "No, that's not the right tone that you use. That's not the right words to use." And what happens? We're going to miss it less and less and less and less and less. As we do what? As we determine to walk in the love of God, to operate and grow in love. Now, let's take a look at, this will be the fifth point here. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. And this is in the King James Version. And it says, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and your" what? "Labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and of our Father." So our fifth point is, if you're going to grow in love, you have to do what? This says here that Paul is saying here, writing to the church of Thessalonica, he's saying here, "Remembering without ceasing your" what? "Your work of faith and labor of love." So we have to, as we grow in love, we're going to labor with love. And I like the Amplified. It says that your work is energized by faith and your service motivated by love. So our service is to be what? Motivated by the love of God and unwavering hope in the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. So our labor with love, Christ's work, was a work of love. He healed the sick, he forgave sin, and our love will grow when we learn how to give of what? Give of ourselves. Giving of your time, helping someone that has a need. So as we labor with love, or what does that mean? From a place of love, motivated by love, our love will grow, it'll expand. So we labor with love, or our labor in Christ is motivated by love. Glory to God. And then the last point here is that we do what? We walk in the love of God. So let's take a look at, if we want to grow in love, we're going to need to do what? Walk in love, if we're going to grow in love. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. And let's look at verse 1 and 2. And it says, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." So we are to do what? Give ourselves. So what? So someone else can be blessed. Glory to God. What do? We give ourselves in our service, in our work in the kingdom of God. So what? So somebody else can be blessed. Just like we have, all of us have a part to play. We all are servants of God. And we all serve in a different capacity or a different role. But in order for our faith to work, we must walk in the love of God. Faith, what? Worketh by love. So love comes from God, and everyone in his family can love like he loves. Why? Because we share of his own nature. So something that Brother Hagin said when he was alive, and the scripture supports it. A step out of love is a step out of God. 1 John 2:5 says, "But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." So if we step out of love, we're stepping out of God. Well, God is love, so you step out of love. So what do we have? We said we got to change our thinking, and we have to think with love. We have to listen with the love of God, with compassion. We have to speak with the love of God. And then what was the fourth point? We have to speak with the love of God. We need to do what? Learn to look with love. Observe those things that we see. If we see someone who's within a fault, we do what? Restore them. But also like Jesus, he was, when he saw things, he was what? Moved with compassion. We need to speak with the love of God. Let our words be filled with love and compassion and mercy. And then we need to do what? Labor with love. Our service, our works are motivated by love. And then we need to do what? Walk in the love of God, as Ephesians 5:1 says. So now we're going to pick up. I know we got started a little late, but we'll pick up here again on Wednesday, and we'll continue with this. And I trust you got a little something out of that, where we need to, as the scripture says, we need to abound in the love of God. We need to expand and grow in the love of God. Why? Because it's a commandment in this new covenant that we have with God, that we are to love one another, and by this shall all men know that we're his disciples. Glory to God. Praise God. Well, let's, before we receive our morning offering, if you're here today, if you're watching, and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you've never asked him into your heart, and you believe that he is the Christ, he's the Savior that came to the earth and died for the sins of all mankind, how God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that what? Whosoever, that means anybody, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That word life is Zoe, the life of God, eternal life. So if you believe with your heart, then all you need to do is say with your mouth that Jesus is the Christ. He was raised from the dead, and I believe that, and I ask him into my heart. So let's say this simple prayer. Father God, I believe that you sent Jesus here to this earth. I believe that he is the Christ. He's the Savior of the world. And I believe he came here in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. And I believe he took my sins. I believe he took them to hell. And I believe on the third day when sin was paid for, he was raised and released from hell. And as the scripture says, we were raised from hell and we were raised to new life. And I receive Jesus now as my Savior. I ask him into my heart. I ask him to cleanse me and make something new of me in Jesus' name. And now I profess that I am saved. Now, if you said that simple prayer, let us know. Send us an email or send us something by mail or call us on the phone. I have that contact information there. And just let us know that you became a brand new person in Christ. You accepted Jesus today, and we'll send some information to you about who you've become in Christ.